I remember vividly the first day I got glasses and put them on for the first time. It was like I was seeing a whole new world. Everything that had been blurry for so long was suddenly clear. A hazy world became so beautiful and alive. Now, the world didn't change when I put on my glasses. It was simply my perception of the world that changed. If I take my glasses off, the world becomes foggy once again. And if I tried to get down and walk around, I'd be pretty unsure, pretty unstable. In his ministry, Jesus encountered person after person who could not see what was right in front of their face. They were blind. Nicodemus couldn't see the kingdom of God. All he could see was another teacher. The Samaritan woman at the well couldn't see the Messiah standing right in front of her face. And because she couldn't see, she lived with an unsatisfied heart. But Jesus came to bring sight to the blind. He came to give us glasses and vision so that a blurry world would become clear. He came to bring vision so that a hazy world becomes beautiful and alive. Now, Paul wrote in Ephesians that the mind caught up in the things of this world is blind. And maybe we find ourselves, or maybe we've found ourselves recently, very much caught up in the things of this world. And if Paul knows what he's talking about, and I think he does, Paul's saying if that's us, it's like we've been looking at the world blind, without our glasses on. And we haven't really been able to see things as they really are. And when Paul says that if you're caught up in the things of the world and you're blind, he goes on to say that what happens as a result of being blind is that people caught up in the things of this world are never satisfied. There's a continual thirst for something more. In other words, Paul's saying that there's something about being able to see things clearly that brings deep satisfaction. And if we don't have that deep satisfaction, we need to put on the spiritual glasses that Jesus has for us today. Jesus is standing before you now. Can you see him? He's holding out a cup. He's inviting us to come and drink. And he's saying, if you come and drink this water, you will find a deep satisfaction that never runs out. Let us pray. Jesus, I come to you today, and I admit for myself that it is so easy to get caught up in the things of this world. And I thank you for your word that tells us when that's the way we are living, it's like we're living blind. And I pray today for each one of us, you'd put on those spiritual glasses, that you would open our eyes and give us sight, Jesus. Give us vision. So that not only we see things clearly, but so that we are able to finally find deep satisfaction in you. We come to you, the fountain of life. And we're asking you, Jesus, give us your water to drink. We want to find deep satisfaction in you. This morning, we don't just want a sip. We don't just want a quick taste, Jesus. We want to come to you empty of ourselves so that you totally fill us up to the point where we're just bubbling over with your blessings and your abundance. I pray that for each person today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're continuing on through John chapter 4. Back in John chapter 4, I guess. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 18 this morning. We want to put ourselves in this story. We read in verse 11, Jesus meeting with this Samaritan woman. We read, "Sir," the woman said, speaking to Jesus, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." When Jesus looks at your heart, what do you think he sees? Is your heart full this morning? Is your heart perhaps hurting? Is it broken? Jesus knows the true condition of our soul and our heart today. When Jesus looked at this Samaritan woman, he saw her unsatisfied heart. And that's the condition of our world. We are surrounded by very unsatisfied people. The whole world can't get no satisfaction. That's why there's so much anger in our world today. Anger is a response to the experience of being deprived. And everywhere we go, we are surrounded by people with unsatisfied hearts. And people live out of that experience of being deprived, even in the church. And Jesus comes to us and says, "Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst again." They will never be driven by unsatisfied desire. Can you imagine never lacking anything again in your life? Being totally free of want. You don't need a promotion. You don't need more money. You don't need more sleep. You don't need to meet that special person. You are completely satisfied already. Imagine a church full of people like that. They may not be polished speakers. They may not be rich. They may not have all the answers, but they have found deep satisfaction in God. Nothing on earth would be able to compete with a group of people like that. Therefore, I want to say this morning that there is absolutely no substitute for satisfaction in God. There's just no substitute for satisfaction in God. Do you want to know how to turn things around in our community? How to turn things around in our state? How to turn things around in our country? Do whatever it takes to find deep satisfaction in God, because nothing on earth can compete with that. No amount of money, no amount of knowledge, no amount of earthly power can compete with a man or woman who has found that fountain of living water and lives out of a deep, abundant relationship with Jesus. Such satisfaction will spill over into everything you do. It will spill over into everyone you are around. And there is a way in for each of us. And it's simple. It's not complicated. If you really want it, you will find it. We have a culture of victimhood in our country today. People think they are victims of society, victims of circumstances, victims of other people. They blame everyone and everything else and spend their lives complaining. The real issue isn't any of those things, and it isn't anyone else. The real issue is me. It's me. God has given me the ability to reach out and find deep satisfaction right in the midst of every single one of my problems and pains. Right in the midst of my tiredness, in the midst of the coronavirus, right in the midst of my circumstances, and if I don't reach out and grab hold of that living water, I have no one to blame but myself. However, if I do reach out, if I say, Jesus, I want this living water, and if I find it, no circumstance on earth will be able to destroy my life. If I reach out and find this deep satisfaction in God, no circumstance on earth will be able to destroy my life. However, if I do not reach out and find this deep satisfaction in God, no circumstance on earth will be able to redeem my life. There's no promotion, no person, no circumstance that will be able to redeem my life or bring the satisfaction I'm looking for. And if I say, you know what, I want this living water, Jesus. I'm very much like this Samaritan woman at the well. I've been looking in all of these other places. And I found them to be empty, Jesus. And I want the living water you offer. I want to give three simple steps this morning. And the first one is, deep satisfaction comes by sorting our desires. Sorting our desires. Jesus, with this Samaritan woman, I mean, Jesus is full of grace. He's incredibly gentle, but he doesn't pull any punches with her in this experience. She calls out the Samaritan woman's misguided desires. He says, "You have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband." She thought a new husband would satisfy her heart. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he called it all empty, vanity. So that's a huge misguided desire we can check off our list. And we can say, no matter how much I run toward that desire, it's never going to satisfy. But what desires, truthfully, are driving your life? If Jesus was standing before you right now, and he knows your heart, probably better than we know our heart, and he called you out like he called out that Samaritan woman, what would he focus on? A big part of our problem is that we think our desires and God's desires are the same. We want to have a fun, easy, successful life, and we think that's what God wants for me too. Eugene Peterson, he translated the Bible into the Message translation. He calls this the oldest religious mistake. So it's not a mistake people in the world make, it's a mistake people in the church make. And that is imagining God to just be a vague extension of my own desires. And thinking my plans and my goals for my life are the same as God's goals for my life. I can almost guarantee that what God wants for our life is different from what we want. And what God wants is a billion times better. And the first step toward finding this deep satisfaction is just getting an accurate picture of what I actually desire. And choosing one desire to pursue. And so I want to invite you, and this is just between you and God. I mean, if I said, God, reveal to me the desires that are driving my life, could you write down maybe three desires that you have? And I want to do the same. Except that I lost my pen, but how did that happen? No, thanks, Suzanne. Appreciate it. Yeah, if you need a pen, there's some back there. But write down three desires. And it's just this is you and God. What desires are driving your life? And then I want to invite you to write down the one desire you want to pursue and cross the other ones off. What's the one desire that you say, when I get to the end of my life, I want to look back and say, I'm glad I pursued that desire. What's one desire you want to pursue and cross the other ones off? Yeah, when they do interviews with people at the end of their life, and I've read studies that have done this, the biggest desires that people say, you know what, I wish I pursued that desire more, is exactly what we talked about last week. Deep friendships, deep spiritual relationships, love. And the other one is knowledge. And you think about knowledge of God. That, and God knows how many more years we have in our lives. But imagine if we reached the end of our life and we were able to look back and say, my goodness, thank you, Jesus, that for the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, with all my heart, I wanted to know you. With all my heart, I tried to love and develop these deep relationships, these deep friendships. And I set the other silly desires aside. I haven't heard anybody at the end of their life saying, you know, I wish I would have worked a few more hours at the office. You know, I wish I would have made a few more dollars, or I don't know. I wish I would have been a little more popular. I wish I would have built up my resume a little bit more. Dallas Willard said, the richest person is not the one who can satisfy more desires. It's the person who has fewer desires, good desires, and can easily say no to their desires. And Jesus is here to help us with this project. Next, we find deep satisfaction in God by staying present. Staying present. The Samaritan woman could not see who was standing in front of her now because she was too focused on things in the past. And you look at the things she says to Jesus. She's talking about Jacob, someone who lived 2,000 years ago. As we go forward in this passage, she's bringing up her ancestors. She's running from the present by living in the past. And really, when it gets down to it, she's running from Jesus by retreating to the past. Guys, we need to learn from the past, but we need to live in the present. We need to learn from the past, but we need to live in the present. And let me point out a few ways this is true. If I'm driven by unsatisfied desire, where am I focused? On the future. That hopefully something will bring satisfaction in the future. If I'm worried or if I'm afraid, where am I focused? The future, again. I'm not living in the present. I'm focused on the future. If I'm overcome by guilt and shame, where am I living? Living in the past. But where do I have to focus if I want to find deep satisfaction? The grace and love that I have been given right now. That I am being given right now. The grace and love Jesus is giving me right now. That's the only way I'm going to find satisfaction. Jean-Pierre de Caussade, a French Christian author. Listen to what he wrote. He said, the present moment holds infinite riches beyond your wildest dreams, but you will only enjoy them to the extent of your faith and love. All that is necessary is to love and accept the present moment as the best. See the holiness, the gift, the blessing, the grace that God is giving you right now. Begin to ask in the ordinary events of your day, How is this time holy? How is this time sacred? How is this time full of the abundant sufficiency of God for me to just reach out and grab? So we have to stay present. The only way the Samaritan woman at the well was going to find satisfaction was to be present right now with Jesus. And once we find that blessing now, the final step is then to share the blessing. We have to then share the blessing, and this is totally essential if we are going to experience the living water Jesus wants us to have. Jesus offers living water. Would you know what living water is? Living water is flowing. It's moving. Stagnant water is dead. And that's where mold and bacteria starts to grow, in water that's just stationary. I've shared before that the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, right there in Israel, are both fed from the same source. They both get the same source of water coming in. But the Dead Sea is dead, while the Sea of Galilee is one of the healthiest seas in the entire world. Why the drastic difference? Well, the Sea of Galilee gives out water in abundance, while the Dead Sea gives nothing away. If I keep the love of Jesus and the wonderful things he has given me and is doing in my life to myself, I will become just like the Dead Sea. But if I share that love with others, if I open myself up to other people, as we talked about last week, I will experience a depth of satisfaction I never knew before. And it's really incredible, I think, how this works. That if I cover up my fellowship with God and I try to hide it, you know, and I keep it to myself, I will smother it to death. I'll smother it to death. But if I give it away and if I share it and I share that love that I'm experiencing from God with other people, that living water within me will never stop growing. It'll just keep flowing within me and flowing out. And that source will never reach its end. And those are the people that God just dumps that living water in. Because he says in Robbie, my living water doesn't just go in there to die. It goes into Robbie and it flows out to the world. It flows out to his family. It flows out to his friends. This woman finds such deep joy because the very next thing she does is she goes and she shares it with her friends. She goes and shares the good news with the people that she lives next to. If I want Jesus' living water, his deep satisfaction, I have to learn how to share it with others. So in addition to sharing our lives with 2 to 3 other Christians, as we talked about last week, I want you to try an experiment this week. When you are around someone else, pray or will the peace and joy you are experiencing in Jesus to pass from you like living waters to the people you are with. It is in your body as a child of God, and it will enter others if you ask God. Watch it happen. Sometimes by speaking, other times in complete silence. Watch and see how it affects yourself and the people you are around. Why don't we try this as we close? Let's close our time by quieting our soul. And let's set our gaze on Jesus, who is living inside of us. If I am a son or daughter of the Father, become aware of Jesus, who has made his home within your heart. And let's each quietly say to ourselves, I have everything right now because of you, Jesus. I have everything right now because of you, Jesus. Jesus, help me to reach that deep satisfaction in you. And then I want you to picture someone nearby. Get a picture of them in your mind. And quietly pray the peace and the satisfaction you have to fill them as well. Jesus, we thank you for your abundant goodness toward us right now. And I thank you that that abundant goodness comes down to our deepest need. And fills us up. We say this morning, Jesus, you are our shepherd. You are guiding us on a good path in life. And because that is the case, we lack nothing. Our cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your loving kindness will follow us today. God, and it doesn't matter what our leaders decide. It doesn't matter how the world behaves. We know that we go forward. In your abundant presence, we will dwell with you in the house of the Lord. Even when we leave this place. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come now.
heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call forth songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Grace's name I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place, and I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus taught me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger brought me with precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I fear, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Jesus, thank you that in a very real way, I mean, if we could just put on our spiritual glasses that you're trying to get on us, we'd be able to see your abundance so clear. And I pray that for each person today, Jesus, that we would not have a mind caught up in the silly, ridiculous things of this world, but our vision, we would have your eyes, Jesus, to see the world, to see the people around us, and to love them like you do, Jesus. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.